after looking at my notes from last week, I could never, ever duplicate that message in a million years. And what I'm trying to say is if you want to hear a good message on trust, it will be last week. It's online. And it was, I felt that the Holy Spirit really enabled me to share God's heart in the area of trust. And obviously we didn't exhaust the subject, but, you know, thank you, Lord. And I just want to lift my hands as an extension, as God's hands, that, you know, I'm not, when we talk about blessing, I just want, I'm trusting him this morning that he's going to work the miracle of opening the blessings that we already have in Christ. And we just don't realize they're there. And he wants to do a work in our hearts and reveal to each one of us the finished work of the cross and what he's already done. We don't have to beg God to do something he's already done. We have to glorify him for doing it. And so I just, you know, I want this service to come from God's heart, regardless whether I preach 5 minutes or I just want it to be something that comes from the heart of God to you. And it opens your understanding to the mystery of eternal life and God's purpose for your life. And so we just thank him right now that he's here. He's now, and he is mindful of you. Okay, this service is primarily, first of all, for those that are here. Okay, God wants to speak to each one of us in some way, and we need to open our heart to it. But yet, listen to last week's message. It was, to me, it was one of the most powerful messages on trust that I've ever heard. And the Lord started to deal with me about that very word, trust. Okay, and as I began to think about it, I realized that he wanted to establish within my heart. It's always about the heart, right? Okay, so our text is in the book of Proverbs that we had last week. Here's my notes from last week. I tried to go back over them. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Okay, trust in the Lord. Let's all say it together. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. A powerful portion of scripture, and I didn't get beyond trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's a heart issue. Life is about the heart. God looks on the heart. God is not looking on what you do. He's looking on the motive of what you do. Okay. He's looking at motives and reasons why people do what they do. You know, some of the secret societies, what they do is they have a front organization where it is, they're using it to deceive people through benevolence. And I won't get into that, but I'm just saying that what's the motive of one's heart? And then what is the desire of one's heart? Okay, God works The Holy Spirit, let me just put it this way, works in the realm of divine desire, where he will put a desire in your heart. And then as we yield and cooperate with his grace to fulfill that desire, we realize that desire. Now, and you're going to have to, you're going to have to end up fighting between sometimes the time you choose to want that, the fulfillment of that desire and that desire. And so God began to deal with me about trust. And, you know, everybody thinks they trust God, but, and I'm not here this morning in any way, shape, or form to judge you in that area. That's not what I'm here for. But God was dealing with me, and he wanted me to have a trust with all my heart. And so I had to ask the question, you know, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me about that? And, you know, so I received it by faith. I thanked him for it. I was very, very aware of what God wanted to do. And so I was able to not only cooperate, but I was able to get an understanding from the Holy Spirit in that area. You know, it always, when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal and magnify things, then you begin to understand his divine purpose in what he's attempting to do. It's much easier to put your faith in him. It's much easier to cooperate. It's much easier to allow the Holy Spirit to mature you in a particular area when the focus is in that area. And then you can learn, you know, basically what God says about that area. Now, last week, just in my notes, and I don't want to go back over them, but I made a decision. Too many times we don't make decisions, and when I talk about a decision, I made a quality decision. It wasn't a half-hearted thing. I made a decision to receive a heart of trust from God. Okay, and then I realized that it had to be the grace of God that would work in me to provide that the condition, the heart condition. Because it's an all or nothing game with God. Do you know that? It's all or nothing. He wanted all my heart. And so I had to ask him to examine my heart to show me what areas in my heart that I did not trust him in. Okay, I'm just talking about how God dealt with me. Lord, show me where I'm not trusting you. And that wasn't because I wanted to be discouraged in it. That is because I wanted the Holy Spirit to change that area. And so I began to, you know, just say, Lord, I receive what you're doing. I receive a heart that trusts you with all my heart. Okay. And then I had down here, I knew that, number two, where we fail is when we attempt okay, to do only what God can do in our perfection. We fail by saying, well, I'm gonna have a heart of God. You're not gonna have a heart of God unless God gives you that heart. You must trust Him for your perfection. You must know that you cannot do it on your own. And that's why so many times Christians quit trying and they don't live a life of holiness or a life that God wants them to live because they discover that they're totally unable to do it in and of themselves. And that is not how God intended our life in Christ to be. He intended us to live it by the grace of God, which now I have to go back over the interpretation of grace, and I think Mark Drake does a very good job in his book, God's Brilliant Plan. But even the title of the book shows us that God's brilliant plan is to change us into the image of Christ by His brilliant power. Okay. So grace is the power or influence of God's power on the heart, manifesting itself in the life of a person. Okay. So I just said, thank you, Lord. I also receive your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your grace to walk, to begin to walk. I realize I'm not trying to gain instant maturity or perfection, but I said to walk in a heart of trust. Now, you know, when you get serious with God, I mean, when He really begins to deal with you, something changes. And that means it changes for the positive. Okay, the power of God goes to work and His glory starts to reveal itself in different ways in your heart, you know. And so my desire is to live my life with a heart that manifests a Christ-like trust in and under all circumstances. Okay, so I wrote out my goal. I'll read it again. I wrote out this goal, okay, that I had. Okay, desire to live my life with a heart that manifests a Christ-like trust in and under all circumstances. And I talked also about last week about you've got to make that a real trust with all your heart. You have to be willing to love your life, trust God, and love your life unto the death. I mean, I'll trust God. Sounds radical, but I'll trust God to the death. Okay. That's Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay, sounds dramatic, I realize that, but it is dramatic. I mean, you can't give anything more than your life, you know. So then I just thank Him, you know, every day, Lord, thank you for giving me your heart of trust. I have an expectation, I have an anticipation of the working of the Holy Spirit to to accomplish that purpose. So I thank the Lord for his grace to have that heart. There can be no pride in this whatsoever, because you know that it's not the work you're doing, your self-effort. It's the effort, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So no room for pride. So that was some of the, I did a whole message last week. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you something. He hit me. I don't know what anybody else felt, but I came here, I couldn't have been under a worse circumstance, and I was energized, empowered, and I didn't really rest until 11 o'clock at night when I went to bed. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit was on me. He was there.
Hallelujah.
He was there. And he's going to be here this morning in the next few minutes here. Huh? Okay. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, an individual walking in a mature trust with all their heart. I really believe God can make that a reality in your life. You know, our world is a place where it can be very, very easy to live in uncertainty. It can be easy to live in fear, worry over the rapid changes that are taking place in our nation and in our world. It is uncertain, okay, of what is really, things that can really happen, we need to have a mature trust. That God is who he says he is. Under all circumstances. No, God has not changed his mind on what he has promised. Regardless of how the world changes, God has not changed his mind and will not change his mind. So I can fully trust God because we first understood our existence was not by chance, but by choice. That's why you're here this morning. God chose you. You weren't a mistake. You weren't a surprise to God that you ended up here. Although sometimes I think he's surprised, but I always used to say, Lord, I don't know what you had in mind. I just want to read Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, and then Ephesians 11 and 12. So let's look at... Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. According as he has chosen us, say he's chosen us. You're not only blessed, but you're chosen. In him, so the choosing was that we would be in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we can have several points out of here, but he had the whole thing laid out from beginning to end before the world was ever in existence. Amen. He had already chosen us sometime, and we don't know if it was always, we were always with him. We don't understand eternity, so it's like, okay, you and I were chosen. We were in the heart of God. That's all I can tell you. I think one of the biggest problems that we have as Christians sometimes is, you know, the Lord was showing me one day, he said, one of your problems is that you don't really love yourself. You don't really have any real respect for who I made you as a person. I mean, that was, I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit because that jerked the slack out of me. So, to try and get away from self-criticism, you know, and you know, self-rejection. I mean, we all deal in those areas, but do you love yourself? You know, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. So I had to ask God to, you know, correct that whole thing. And I don't know if he, you know, I've arrived there yet, but let's, so he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5 then says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, the book of Ephesians, it's an unbelievable book. I mean, it is unbelievable. Okay. So I told the Lord this morning, I'm your son. You chose me. You called me. You wanted me. Amen. And I accept that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I accept my identity.
Amen.
And then in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, it says, chapter 1, yeah. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Say we've obtained an inheritance. Folks, you're not a, we're not paupers. If you ever did a study, you know, of the riches of God, we just think in terms of financial wealth, but, you know, the real riches of God are so much more important than that. Not that that's not important. Okay. So in whom also he, we have obtained an inheritance. We're not going to get it. We have it. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Are you going to receive it?
Yes.
Are you going to receive it?
Amen.
Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So we're predestined to fulfill the counsel of his own will. Okay, and I was thinking about how sometimes people exist on earth, and even us as Christians, and we just don't have any awareness that God predestined us according to his purpose, and we're just floating around without any purpose. Okay. You know, it's the book of Ephesians is really something that each of us should renew our minds on and study deeply, because there is so much in there regarding what God did in relation to us and for us. Okay. So he planned to perfectly prepare and fulfill his divine destiny in time and throughout eternity. Okay, it's already done. It's already planned. Okay, it's a question now of trusting in the plan and following, you know, the Lord in our life. the details and fulfillment are realized. They came from Christ and they are found in Christ. And they are fulfilled through Christ. Cooperating in his divine plan and obedience to walking in his purpose and to that plan. Now, that to me, that becomes something that becomes very important to God, because he's already revealed that. And that becomes important to me. I'm not interested in living an independent life. I'm not interested in doing my own thing. So obedience to his will and desire to walk in his way can never be substituted, are you listening, with anything else? Okay. You got a lot of people in the world that are, I heard a little podcast the other night on the, I'm trying to think of what the name of it was, the Earl Nightingale. Okay, and he used the name of Jesus. I'm not running that down and this and that, but some people, they use those laws, their laws of focus, and I'm going to accomplish this, but they die without ever, they die in a temporal accomplishment. It was never in God's plan, you know. I mean, they became rich, they became wealthy, they became famous, they became successful. And we want all that, but what is success? If it isn't fulfilling the will and calling of God on your life, then you are not going to be successful in the end. Right? I don't care about recognition. You know, you're not going to get it if you're in a ministry. I promise you that. What has Christ done? What does he want to do? What will we do to cooperate with his eternal purpose in our life, his predestination? You know, there's a scripture there in the, you know, that about, you know, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then they were standing there at judgment saying, Lord, we did all these mighty things, you know, in your name. And yeah. No, they did their own thing. Come on. You know, and I'm not advocating in any way that doing God's will is all suffering. I don't mean that. But sometimes you will suffer for doing God's will. But don't ever question his love or your integrity for being obedient. Ephesians 2:10 says, I just sprinkle a few scriptures in there, but Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, that's what we're here for. I'm going to get into the will here in a minute, but I just want to get... He has prepared his best for our temporal and eternal destiny. Only he has the power to fully understand it and bring it to pass. And we learn that from Abraham. I learned that from Abraham. Abraham couldn't have a child. His wife was barren. He was 100 years old. She was 90 years old. And the Bible says that God made him a promise that they were going to have a child. Well, I'm glad it was to him because I couldn't believe it. And the Bible says that he considered, he was strong in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yes. Now, God never promised Tony and I a child in our 70s. That just isn't. But we do. I'm not saying it isn't possible, but I really doubt that that's in his plan right now for our life. You know, I really do. But the whole plan of God is for him to be glorified in fulfilling your destiny supernaturally in your life.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And sometimes you just have to walk, you know, obey God and walk in faith when it looks like it would be hopeless for anything to happen.
Come on.
And all of a sudden, the wind starts blowing and it happens. God shows up is what I'm trying to tell you. And he's the same God that was the God of Abraham.
Yeah.
He is our God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. When things look like they're over and they look their worst, that's when God shows up and shines and does his thing.
Thank you, Lord.
It can look in the natural, the circumstances, it can look like it's all over and it's completely hopeless. And there's no possible way out. That's what that on one side is what it looked like to Abraham. There's no way now you'll ever have a child. You're 100 years old. Your wife's womb is barren. And I'm going to just tell you something that's the same way with us. That rock on the top of that drill thing, even though I don't understand it, I'm going to tell you something. God is ready to manifest tremendous things in this nation to those that have remained faithful. No, God is not going to take a back seat to the New World Order or any other order.
Praise God.
So he's prepared the best for our temporal and our eternal. And only really the true reality of it is that he has the power to fulfill your destiny and calling, and he is glorified when his power is manifest. Now, I just want to quickly do this, and then I want to talk about trust for a minute. Okay, to know God is to glorify him. That's Romans. I'm sorry, that is Romans chapter 1. And I don't know if I had the wrong scripture there. Who he really is and to be thankful in everything he's done. When they knew God, I think that's Romans. When they knew God, they glorified him not. as God. Okay, we need to be constantly glorifying him, in other words, for who he is, what he's done, what he will do. You know, it says they glorified him not, neither were they thankful. Okay, we need to be very careful that our focus is constantly magnifying who God is and being thankful for what he's done and what he will do. I don't want to become vain in my imagination and let my heart be darkened. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about trust, and it is to exercise effective faith by entrusting my entire existence of all that I am, all that I have, and all that I ever will be into the hands of God. I trust God. It's not a blind trust, but it's an eternal trust. Okay, I just read these couple of things, but the bottom line is trust is an act, okay, of faith. Okay, and what do you mean by that? That means that when you really trust, you trust by entrusting something. You entrust it to God. I entrust my health to God. I entrust my future to God. I entrust my finances to God. I entrust my relationships to God. I entrust them. They're entrusted. It's like kind of having a, you know, where you might have like a vault where you're going to put all your gold or silver in it, where you can entrust it to be taken care of. In trust. Everybody say in trust.
In trust.
See, that in trust means you're in trust. In trust means you are living in trust. In trust means that you are entrusting back to God. You are acknowledging that he will keep it, keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. Okay. I don't want to be wishy-washy about my heart. I want my heart to reflect a mature trust in God. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm just saying that that's where we're headed. And so many times I've let my own understanding. Now that when it says don't lean on your own understanding, that doesn't mean you can't have his understanding. We have the mind of Christ, and that doesn't even mean that we would understand everything, but you know, we don't lean on that. We know that God guides us he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the big picture. Bible says he guides us with his eye. You know, that's where the Illuminists stole the top of the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, you know. Satan counterfeits everything, see.
Yep.
Everything. And so now we're headed for a plan from the elitist where the three pillars. One is, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about that. Okay, I'm not... I, you know, it's total surveillance.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Number one pillar, total surveillance. There's no way you can escape from being watched. No matter where you live or how you live. Okay, now, that's a real blessing when it's God. Okay. Total financial control of everything that you spend. Okay, they'll have control. If they don't like how you're spending your money, guess what? They cut it off. I'm not trying to cause fear here. Please don't misunderstand me. See, and these are pillars that in a way they could be, that could be God, that could be Jesus Christ. We give him total control of our finances. We give him total control of our behavior. And the third is behavior control. They have that in full force in China now. And they're trying to bring all that nonsense, you know, to the world. Now, if that's Jesus Christ, my vote is yes and amen. I'm all for it. But it's not Jesus Christ. It's the Satan working through the world system. Well, our time is getting short, but I just wanted to talk about trust is to exercise an effective faith by establishing my entire existence. All that I am, all that I have, all that I will be into the hands of God. It's all yours, God. I'm yours, God. Our time on earth is to commit myself and submit myself to obedience, guidance, and the fulfillment of our eternal destiny and purpose. That's our commitment. If we die in the process of doing that, oh well. But we're committed. We're submitted. Amen. We're trusting. Amen. We're fulfilling. Amen. Sometimes, you know, if you're really serving God, you think, well, I'm not doing much, you know, and you don't really realize the chain reaction of the lives that you touch and influence before you die. It is enormous. Now, I just want to look at Psalm 31, 14 through 16 here. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Okay, that goes back to magnifying him as God. Magnifying him for who he is. Let's look at the next verse here. My times are in thy hand. Say that with me. Thy times are in my hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Verse 16, I think we had that, or didn't we? Yeah. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Okay. You know, you're here and you're now. You're not going to be in the next generation. It's time now. Now is the day for you to fulfill God's calling on your life and his purpose for your destiny. And I'm going to just tell you right now, within all of that, I just tell you for sure it's a blessed life.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessed life.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, you have blessed me with your glory. Lord, manifest your blessing through us to others in this world. Okay, I'll say that again. You know, look at John 17:22. I'll just show you. He is already, and the glory which thou gavest me, Jesus praying to the Father, I have given them. Hello? Wake up. You already have it. And so our calling is to give it away to people. Okay? If you don't know you have it, it's pretty hard to believe you're giving it. See, a lot of things that, you know, we pray about, we already have. So really our prayer is ineffective because you already have it. We already have his glory. I say he gave it to you. Have you received it? Have you received your sonship? Have you received your identity? Have you received your predestination?
Amen.
These are all things that we are to understand and walk in. So that's why I said, I don't care what I look like. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to tell you something. He gave me his glory. Lord, see, if we're consciously aware of it, we can't necessarily determine exactly how it's all going to be manifest, but be mindful that you have the glory that the Father gave Jesus. You have that. He didn't give you that just for yourself. You know, and I'll tell you something, even though it the enemy just wants to take everything from us, but when you show up somewhere, the glory of God shows up with you. When you show up, the glory of God shows up with you. I believe in that glory. I believe in that the grace. Okay, that glory. I just believe in it. Okay, so let me just finish with, to trust the Lord is to have an active faith. To trust is to entrust. Say it with me. To trust is to entrust. Our existence to God in an active faith in Him. So what I do, you know, sometimes when I go to bed, I just say, I entrust everything.
Yeah.
I entrust it all to you, Lord. I know you're taking care of it. I know you're taking care of me. I know that you plan my destiny. I know that you will fulfill my purpose. Lord, my greatest desire is that you be glorified in my life. I do have temporal desires, but they're not desires that God did not give me or allow me to have.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we're now entrusting, and that is an act of trust.
Amen.
That is trust. I'm entrusting with all of my heart. Back to you, Lord. Be glorified with it. Be glorified in it. Be glorified in my life. Amen. I mean, let the whole world blow up. I'm going to trust you in the storm. Amen. Let it all fall apart. And we're still standing. Stand up with me this morning. Thank you for your undivided attention.